Well, thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship. Good morning. And I hope each of you had a Merry Christmas. I'll tell you this, our home is a Hot Wheels home now. We're full of toys. We don't need any more toys. But truly, I pray that you experienced, and that you do experience, the joy of Christ each and every day, and not just on December 25th. That the hope of Christmas changes absolutely everything. Jesus changes everything. For those walking in darkness, we have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That is our hope. If we haven't met, my name is Tanner. I am the youth pastor here at First E Free. And in case you didn't know, today is a much lesser known holiday. The Sunday after Christmas each year is National Youth Pastor Preaching Day. It's a thing. We're here. So there's probably some youth pastor out there giving it his first go on a Sunday morning. So maybe like say a little prayer for those scattered across the globe. National Youth Pastor Preaching Day. So, John Walker did mention that I might say something about Hidden Acres Summer Camp. So if you got kids, if you got grandkids, I'm saying sign them up. What the church does, we hope that we can send as many kids as possible to camp at Hidden Acres. What the church does is, so once you register, you got to let us know, and then we provide a voucher. That financial voucher is $175. So I don't know what the full cost of camp is at Hidden Acres. You can look all of those things up, but we desire to have as many kids as possible go. And if there's a specific week that ends up having a lot of kids, I might book a 15-passenger van and help some parents out that week. So parents, you can talk amongst yourselves if there's a week that maybe works best for something like that. But this Advent, Pastor Randy, I preached on the prologue of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this morning, we're gonna pick right up. John chapter 1, verse 19. So please open up your Bibles to John 1, 19 through 28. This morning's passage is on John's testimony. So our passage this morning, it begins with a seven-day segment of Scripture, beginning with John's testimony and ending with the wedding at Cana. So that's the start with this passage. So the central theme of this morning's message is that Jesus is the Messiah, and we are to point people to him. Jesus is the Messiah, and we are to point people to him. You will see how that comes to play out with John the Baptist. And you'll also notice 4 points that are listed for this morning's message that are listed in your bulletin. You should see them less as points, but you should see them as structure to guide us as we study this morning's passage together. So if you don't have it open, John chapter 1, 19 through 28, the testimony of John the Baptist. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. I invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you for this new day, a new day to worship you as a family of disciples. God, we praise you for who you are, that even when we are weak, that you, God, are strong, that you are our portion forever. God, we confess to you our sin this morning. We confess to you the ways that we have slipped up and fallen short of your glory. Reveal to us the sin in our lives that we might be blind to, that we are blind to. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, draw us to faith in the Lord Jesus. Draw us, God, to repentance, to faith and obedience. Rid us of pride, of arrogance, of malice, of any kind of wickedness. We thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge and that you are near to us. And may we be a people that are found faithful in telling of your great and awesome works. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. So beginning this past September, we began teaching the Gospel of John to the middle school and high school youth group students. So for the youth group students and for the youth leaders in the room this morning, and each time that I preach in the future, will be a good refresh. And my hope is that this will also help with the retention of God's word as well. So at the beginning of our passage, in verse 19, John the Baptist, he gets confronted and really he gets interrogated by the delegation from Jerusalem. So they were priests and Levites sent by the Jews. And John the Apostle, I'm going to do my best to make it not confusing for you. I'm going to make sure to say John the Baptist and John the Apostle, working with a couple of Johns there. So John the Apostle makes it very clear to us that they weren't sent by God. Speaking of the priests and the Levites, so that's a stark contrast. They were sent by the Jews. Verse 24 says that they were sent by the Pharisees. The priests and the Levites were both descendants of the tribe of Levi. Their distinction is that the priest's forefather was Aaron, the brother of Moses. So the priests are Aaronites. They are legally and biblically qualified to serve as priests in the temple. Now the Levites, they were descendants, you guessed, of Levi. But they were not of the tribe of Aaron. They took care of the upkeep and the administration of the temple. They did roles in the temple that the priests didn't do. They prepared animal sacrifices that were offered to the Lord by the people of Israel. So you should think of these priests and Levites, you should think of them as local religious leaders sent by the Pharisees who opposed Jesus. So these were men of religious and political authority, and they are jealous. They are people that are jealous of John the Baptist. So look at verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? So the question I want to ask is, why are the local religious leaders, the priests and the Levites, why are they here to question John the Baptist? It's because the Jews, the Pharisees, of course, sent them. The priests and the Levites came to question John the Baptist because they received word of what was going on, this preaching, this baptizing. And they're here to find out what authority is this man of the wilderness baptizing people and preaching this message of repentance. These Pharisees, they are a group of a zealous people. They are Jewish lay people. And there were around 6,000 Pharisees at the time. And they were in control of the priests and the Levites. So here's what Matthew's account says about John the Baptist. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So what we need to know is that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, same scripture reading that we had this morning, Isaiah 40. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist preached a message of urgency, of repentance. He preached for people to turn away from sin and to turn to the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's among them. The prayer I have for us this morning is that God would plant in each of us the same urgency within us, within me, of repenting from sin, of turning to the Lord. And John's message is one that we must, as Christians, live by, to repent of our sin and to turn to the Lord in faith and obedience. So if you have been living in darkness, if you have been living in sin, my prayer is this. I pray that God draws you, to faith in Christ Jesus, that in him you will find grace and truth. In him you will find newness of life. When you put your faith in Christ, you will receive the forgiveness of sins, as 1 John 1:9 says, that Jesus purifies us from all unrighteousness when we confess to him our sins. Turn back with me to our account in the Gospel of John. It says in John 1:5, then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. Excuse me, that's the passage in Matthew. Then Jerusalem and all Judea are going out to him. So you should picture the multitudes are coming to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the coming of the King. King Jesus is the Messiah. And he was preparing the hearts of God's people to receive their King. And the religious leaders, they are jealous. They are jealous that the masses of people, that the multitudes from all of the region are going to John the Baptist. What we need to understand quickly is that John the Baptist made none of this about himself. John the Baptist made none of this about himself. He was simply being faithful. being faithful to God's call upon his life, to prepare people for the Messiah, to prepare the highway for the Lord, for Jesus' earthly ministry. Think of this. For 400 years, there had been no word from God. For 400 years, there had been no word from God. The last prophet of the Old Testament was the prophet Malachi, until John the Baptist. So to put that in perspective for us on a historical timeline, the United States of America has been a country for only 248 years. The United States of America has only been a country for 248 years. Israel, the people of God, have been waiting a long time, 400 years, for the coming of the Messiah. So here's the prophecy of John the Baptist from Malachi 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me and before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Israel had been waiting 400 years for a word from God. They've been waiting 400 years for this messenger to prepare the way for the Messiah. That changed when Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, was at the temple fulfilling his priestly duty. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 15. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 15. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Wow. So God was no longer silent to his people. God again visited his people through the form of the angel Gabriel. Zechariah and Elizabeth were promised a son in their old age. If you look at verse 5, you'll notice that John the Baptist was of the line of Aaron. So he could have served as priest. Yet he remained humble, lowly, a faithful man of the wilderness. And look at verses 14 and 15 there in Luke 1. It says this in verse 14, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So John the Baptist's lifestyle, his way of living, was likely in line with the Nazarites of the Old Testament. You could turn with me to Numbers 6, 1 through 3. Numbers 6, 1 through 3. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when either a man or a woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar made from wine or strong drink, and shall not drink any juice of grapes or eat grapes, fresh or dried. So you need to hear this. Prior to birth, John the Baptist was separated to the Lord. What that means is his life was committed, consecrated to the Lord. And him being filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb tells us God was preparing him to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Even prior to birth, he was a distinct person. Even prior to birth, John the Baptist was a distinct person. So when John the Baptist was asked this question, "Who are you?" in John 1:19, by the delegation of priests and Levites, he could have given a long list of who he was, but he didn't. He didn't say, "Well, I'm a descendant of Aaron." He didn't say that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He didn't say how many people had come to him to be baptized. So notice this. John the Baptist did not make his calling about himself. What he did instead, he pointed people to the Messiah. He pointed people to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So when John the Baptist was asked, "Who are you?" he had every opportunity to boast in himself, but he stayed lowly. Instead, he pointed the religious leaders to Christ and not to himself. Look at verse 20. This is the confession. Verse 20 says, "He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" So we need to wrap our minds around those words that John the Apostle writes for what John the Baptist responds with to the priests and Levites. John the Baptist says to them, "I am not the Christ." So in doing so, he confessed, but did not deny, but confessed. John the Baptist disowned himself to be the Christ. But what John the Apostle is making clear to us is that John the Baptist did not deny Christ in the process. He did not deny Christ in the process. The truth of the testimony of John the Baptist is this: "I am not the Christ, but the one who is, he's among you." Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist is not the "I am." Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the King, he is the great "I am." This is who John the Baptist prepares the way for. He prepares the way for the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. A couple chapters later in the Gospel of John, John 3, verse 30, John the Baptist says these words. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That was true of John the Baptist's life. We see that of him in this passage of his testimony, and that needs to be true of our lives as Christians. That needs to be true of our lives. More of Jesus, less of me. More of Jesus, less of me. That's the Christian lifestyle that we must adopt. So if you're coming up with goals as you go into the new year, more of Jesus, less of me. That's humility. What that is a life that is surrendered to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord. By John the Baptist not denying that Jesus is the Christ, we are also reminded of a warning. The warning of denying the Christ. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men," here's the warning, "I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. You don't want Jesus to deny you before the Father. You don't want that. You don't want to be on that side of Judgment Day. So when faced with questioning, John the Baptist, he didn't waver. When he was asked, "Who are you?" he without hesitation said he wasn't the Messiah. He's not the prophesied king. But he did not deny the Messiah. John the Baptist is saying, "I am not the Christ." Let's pause for a moment and come back to this question of who are you? What would you say if someone asked you, "Who are you?" What would you say if somebody asked you, "Who are you?" What would you say? Would you affirm your faith? Would you deny Christ by shying away from the things of God? Remember, we are faced with the warning from Jesus. If we deny him, he will deny us before the Father who is in heaven. I promise you, you don't want that for yourself. That's the path that leads to destruction. So I ask you again, who are you? In the fall of 2023, it was maybe a couple of months after I started here at First Tee Free, I got asked that very same question from a very kind member here. His name is John Walker. And I got permission to share this story, by the way. He came by the office a Tuesday morning after our corporate prayer time, and he asked me, "So who is Tanner?" So when somebody asks you, "Who are you?" What's your response going to be? So, but I want you to know, granted, John Walker, there's three Johns now in this sermon. He asked me this question in a much kinder way than what I believe John the Baptist got asked when he was interrogated by priests and Levites. But my point is this: you have an opportunity to reveal who you are in Christ when somebody asks you that question. And also, it's a great way to witness by asking somebody that maybe that you don't know, "Who are you?" And it leads into a gospel conversation. So what is your testimony? So I remember responding to John Walker in this way: "I'm a child of God. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a friend. I'm a youth pastor." And I went back to my office, and later on I shared with John Walker, I'm like, "John, I'm a sinner, saved by the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I ask you that this morning: who are you? Here's the truth. Our answer to that question reveals our priorities and how we orient our life. Our response reveals our priorities, our truthful response. Reveals our priorities and how we orient our life. I pray that God draws you to faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, if he hasn't done so already. And I pray that you would find your identity and worth wrapped in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. More of Jesus, less of self. And always, always be ready to share of the hope that is within you. Pick up with me at John 1, verse 21 here. The clarification. So for clarification, we already know that John the Baptist is not the Christ. So who is this John the Baptist? Verse 21. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So we have some clarification here of who John the Baptist is not. And quite frankly, it's quite confusing. So we're going to go over these questions of why was John the Baptist asked? So why was he asked, "Are you Elijah?" Why was he asked, "Are you the prophet?" So you're going to need to buckle up here, because we're going to bounce around like we have been bounce around at various scripture passages relating to these questions of John the Baptist being Elijah, John the Baptist being the prophet. So first off, what is fascinating about the correlation of John the Baptist and Elijah is that they are even described in a similar fashion. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8 says this of Elijah. He wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist. In Matthew 3, verse 4 says this about John the Baptist. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. So John the Baptist and Elijah, they are both men of the wilderness. So it confused the religious leaders that John the Baptist responded with, "I am not Elijah," because they've misinterpreted Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, which prophesies, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." So the religious leaders anticipated a return of Elijah. And so John the Baptist is correct in saying that he's not Elijah, for he is John the Baptist. But what we do need to note is that he does come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And we're going to read of that truth in a moment from the very words of our Savior, Jesus, that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of this prophecy. And if you have knowledge about Elijah, you will know that he didn't die. You can turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, to read about this account about Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. When he had crossed, referring to the Jordan River, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So Elijah never died. As verse 11 states, he went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Even more of a reason of why John the Baptist gets asked, "Are you Elijah?" Now Luke chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 says this, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient of the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So John the Baptist, he comes and prepares the way for Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah. And then Christ Jesus our Lord, gives us this analysis of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 14. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, whoa, what do we make of John the Baptist saying then that he's not Elijah? Hear this. He's telling the truth. He comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. So what do we make of John the Baptist saying that he's not the prophet? Hear this. He's telling the truth. According to Jesus, the Son of God, John the Baptist is more than a prophet. John Calvin writes that John the Baptist was detaching himself from the company of Old Testament prophets. This is then not inconsistent with what Christ says here in Matthew 11. And note this distinction here. John the Baptist is a prophet. He is not the prophet. There's a difference. He's a prophet. He is not the prophet. Not the prophet that the priests and the Levites were asking about and when they questioned John the Baptist. So we're going to look at two passages here regarding John the Baptist being questioned as the prophet. And remember, he is more than a prophet, and he is not the prophet. So turn with me to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. It says this, During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So notice verse 2 there. Notice the wording. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of God came to John the Baptist. So a prophet proclaims the message given to him by God. So think back to the Old Testament prophets here. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Nathan. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and many more. And fast forward to Malachi, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And remember, after Malachi, there was no word from God to Israel until John the Baptist, 400 years. And the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. So John the Baptist, he is more than a prophet. John the Baptist's message was also one that was offensive to the religious people of the day. So John the Baptist is not the prophet, who is? When the priests and Levites asked this, they're referring to Moses. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So John the Baptist is not the new prophet like Moses. That's the Messiah. The Messiah is the new prophet. Jesus is the new prophet, and far greater is he than Moses. Jesus is the one and only mediator between God and man. In John 1:22, The religious leaders continue. Verse 22 says this, "So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?'" John the Baptist says this in verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So the religious leaders, they need to give the report to the Pharisees about who this John the Baptist character is. And John the Baptist quotes Isaiah when he's asked, "Who are you?" "I am the one preparing the way for the Lord." John the Baptist is the messenger. Here's the deal. John the Baptist knew what he was called by God to do, and he did it faithfully. Faithfully to death. And we are called to faithfulness too as Christians. And John the Baptist preaches, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the truth that offends, that pierces," because what it requires change. And it is transformation that can only take place through the power of the Holy Spirit. Solely the work of the Holy Spirit. And John was called and prophesied to be a voice. The last time I checked, you can't see a voice. You can't see a voice. He's the voice sending people not to himself, but he's sending people to Jesus, the Messiah, the King. Isaiah 40, 3 through 5, our scripture reading says this, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." John the Baptist, he knew that he was simply a voice. He was the voice that prepared the highway of Jesus' ministry, pointing people in the direction of our Lord Jesus. So if you're a Christian, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you're called as well to be faithful in pointing people in the direction of Jesus. What I want you to notice about John the Baptist is that he refused to make his calling about himself. That multitudes upon multitudes of people are coming from Jerusalem and Judea and are coming to John to be baptized. It's not about him. It's not about him. It's about purification through baptism and repentance and the forgiveness of sins. It's about preparing the people of Israel for the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. That John the Baptist is a faithful, humble voice in the wilderness. And notice what he says about Jesus. Verses 26 through 27 of our passage this morning. John 1, 26 through 27. John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." So John is saying to the priests and to the Levites, "The one who follows me is so great that I am unworthy to even untie the strap of his sandal." Speaking of the greatness of our King Jesus. And now the religious leaders, they're here giving smack talk to John the Baptist, because really what they're doing is saying, "By what authority? By what authority do you baptize?" And notice what John says. He says, "And you don't know the one who is among you." You don't know the one who is among you. Whoa. That was a truthful blow to the priests and to the Levites He's saying the Messiah is here, and the warning to us is this: if you don't know the Son of Man, you don't know the Father either. If you don't know the Son of Man, you don't know the Father either. John the Baptist is not the light, but he is pointing us to the one who is. John the Baptist reveals who he is through the prophet Isaiah. What I find fascinating is Jesus does the same in Luke 4, 16 through 21. And this is who John the Baptist prepares the way for: Jesus Christ, our Lord. Luke 4, 16 through 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And this is Isaiah 61, 1 through the beginning of verse 2, to be exact. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So John the Baptist makes it clear in today's text: I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I'm simply the voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the one who is the anointed one, preparing the way for the Messiah's ministry, preparing the way for the one who sets captives free, preparing the way for the one who performs miracles, who recovers the sight of the blind. That's who I'm preparing the way for. Preparing Israel to receive their long-awaited King, King Jesus. John the Baptist was faithful to his calling. I want you to hear this morning. I'm saying it multiple times, so hopefully it sinks in. We are called to be faithful to our calling as Christians too. The role of being a witness for Christ and his kingdom is the calling of every Christian. And here's what we learn from John the Baptist today. We learn this: to not make service to God's kingdom about ourselves. We learn this, to not make service to God's kingdom about ourselves. Service to God's kingdom is not about personal recognition or a personal glory or gain. It's all about glory to the Lord. Our calling is one of faithfulness. Our calling is one of obedience, to be faithful followers of the Lord, to be faithful witnesses. So as we enter into 2025, as a church, I want to ask you and myself, are you living faithfully to the Lord, for the Lord? Is the fullness of your life pointing others to Christ? Is the fullness of your life pointing others to Christ? Is your life Christ-like? Is your life reflecting godliness? John's calling was to faithfully be the voice that God called him to be. So whatever God has called you to, maybe you're a student, you're calling as a friend, as an employee, as a business owner, as a daughter, as a son, as a husband, as a wife, as a neighbor, as a Sunday school teacher, as a youth leader, as an Awana leader, as a servant in the nursery or children's church, in women's ministry, in the sound booth, in missions, on the worship team, in serving as elder or deacon, in serving coffee, in greeting on a Sunday morning. Whatever the Lord has specifically called you to in life, do it all for his glory and remain faithful to the Lord. Remain faithful in being in God's word. Remain faithful in being in God's word. That's an encouragement. That's a challenge to you as we go into the new year. You can pick up a Bible reading plan on your way out. They're on the right-hand side on the table as you exit. We'd encourage that. Remain faithful in being in God's word. Remain faithful in prayer. And in your Christian walk, point people to Jesus, the Messiah. The calling of repentance, turning from sin and turning to the Lord, it's a calling for us. John the Baptist points us to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've met many people that claim to be followers of Christ that say, hey, there's many ways to salvation. Many ways other than Christ. That is false. That is false. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is Christ alone, through faith alone. So what is the trajectory of your life? Because there's only two paths. One path that is of destruction, and one path that is of the way of salvation. And Jesus is the one way of salvation. Jesus says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So are you going down the path that leads to destruction? I'm here to tell you, today is the day to turn to Jesus, that Jesus is the way. You need to hear that this morning. Jesus is the way. He is the Messiah. Enter the narrow gate, the path that leads to eternal salvation, heavenward in Christ Jesus. That in Christ you have hope. We have hope. In Christ, we have forgiveness and the freedom from the bondage of sin and the grave. In Christ, as Pastor Randy said on Christmas Eve, in Jesus, you will find grace and truth. So if you haven't come to faith in the Lord Jesus, I pray that God draws you to faith in his Son. And if you have been drawn to faith in Christ, you should thank God and follow faithfully the path of the Lord, the path that is narrow, the path that is of godliness, the path that is full of grace and truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father in heaven than through faith in Christ. With true faith, comes a life of faithfulness and obedience. So as we go into the new year, may the fullness of our Christian lives point people to Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord. May our lives proclaim that truth with every ounce of who we are. I invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you have set before us for us to follow. I pray that we would follow Jesus the Messiah faithfully. May the fullness of our Christian lives point people around us to the person of Christ. So mold us, Lord, into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, more and more every day. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.